2001 was a good year for science. Researchers took some big steps forward in medicine. They found new dinosaur bones, made progress towards smaller computers. There have been very few retractions this past year, but NPR's David Kestenbaum found a few. He has this collection of scientific steps backwards.
Last year when we did this, no scientist I spoke to would admit to having made an error. Not one. This time round, a single brave man confessed. I give you Toichiro Kinoshita, a physicist at Princeton University.
Well, I would say I'm responsible for the mistake. My collaborator did the most of the work, but I'm equally guilty of making mistakes.
Kinoshita's sin was to have a minus sign where he should have had a plus, or maybe the other way around. He can't quite remember, though it ended up having gigantic consequences. Kinoshita and his colleague were calculating how a particular subatomic particle behaves when it's stuck in a magnetic field. The particle, it turns out, wobbles like a toy top at a particular frequency. Kinoshita enlisted hundreds of computers and, after a decade of heroic work, had precisely predicted how fast it should wobble according to the laws of physics. Last winter, other physicists who were out measuring the wobble found it differed significantly from Kinoshita's prediction. In the clockwork world of physics, this was potentially a huge finding, signaling something new and mysterious. Except that it wasn't. Kinoshita traced his error to a tiny quirk in a computer program he was using. He hadn't checked that bit, in part because other physicists using a different approach had gotten the same answer. That's really unusual that two people made different mistakes that got the same answer.
Yeah. I don't know that there was any collective sort of cheating of some sort. That when you did some hard work and agree with somebody else, you get sort of feel that you have done the right calculation and stop thinking about the possible problems.
The lesson here is just because the person sitting next to you got the same answer doesn't mean it's right. Another physics breakthrough also turned out not to be this year. Researchers working at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California announced they had made an entirely new chemical element. By smashing krypton atoms into lead atoms, they appeared to have forged element 118, the heaviest atom ever made, containing 118 protons. Walter Loveland, a nuclear chemist at Oregon State University, worked on the experiment. It was particularly exciting, he says, because it opened the door to making even heavier elements.
The 118 promised that you would have another huge expansion of the periodic table, only a matter of time and diligence before these things would happen.
People wanted to believe it was true, he says, particularly American scientists.
It was frankly the re-entry of American interest into this field, which had been dominated by scientists from Germany and Russia all in the last 20 years.
But shortly after the announcement, a German lab tried to make element 118 and couldn't. A French lab and a Japanese lab also failed. Heavy elements like 118 fall apart almost immediately, so it wasn't as if the Berkeley scientists had one they could trot out as proof.
There was concern, obviously, when three laboratories can't repeat the work. There's something going on that's funny. Either it's very hard to make and you got lucky the first time, or else there's something very wrong.
Researchers at Lawrence Berkeley Lab went back to the original tapes the data was stored on and could not find the collisions that had apparently produced element 118. It was as if they had never existed, as if someone had faked the data. Lawyers have now been brought in, and the lab is conducting an investigation. The preliminary finding is that this looks like misconduct. And this is the dark side of scientific retractions. Sometimes, a retraction means more than a misplaced minus sign.
We have a little bit over 100 findings of misconduct in 10 years for thousands and thousands of studies.
Chris Pascal is the director of the federal government's Office of Research Integrity, which monitors public health research. There's a large plastic bag of shredded documents outside his office. It contains what was once evidence, copies of researchers' notebooks, for instance, which occasionally can make for very interesting reading.
They will put entire fabricated experiments in their notebook, or they won't ever have conducted the study. But they'll generate a table of summary results, and that will end up in a paper. So there may not be a notebook, because there was never a study. They end up making up the data.
And sitting here in front of the chief of the nation's scientific police, I remember something. Back in college, during a lab course, I modified my data. Just a little, just to make it come out right. I confessed to Pascal.
So was I a bad person that I cheated in college?
Are you a bad person? Well, I wouldn't recommend it. It doesn't mean that you're going to do it the rest of your career.
Pascal laughs, and he says most people stop cheating when they're out in the real world, but not everyone. His office found 14 instances of misconduct this year, and he's sure others went unnoticed. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.